Now I got to say more emotional things. As most of you probably know, my family lost someone very dear to us nearly 2 weeks ago now. We mourned her loss and celebrated her life this past week right here. And it was all so beautiful and touching and emotional and in my grandma's words, wonderful. Many folks in this congregation helped as we mourned and celebrated. And I think I can probably speak for our whole family and just say how unbelievably grateful we are for that help. That was truly wonderful. But as I was reflecting this week on that and on the fact that I'm preaching this morning, I just started to think about all the things and people in my life, all the influences. And you may or may not know, but our series right now is on friendship and what friendship means and looks like. And so as I was reflecting, I was thinking about something that is particularly difficult in friendship that I wanted to talk about, because why not? Why not talk about the difficult stuff? And so the thing that I thought would be fun to discuss this morning is the idea in friendship of challenging others to be better or holding others accountable while also not being judgy. This is a pretty thin line to walk, I feel like, and can be a very, very difficult, sometimes one of the most challenging dynamics in a friendship. Challenging others to be better is important, and I think, obviously, I would hope for most of us, like, we want the best for people, right? Like, I would hope that's a baseline. Like, I want the best for my friends and for people in my life. And so, like, oftentimes when I try to challenge people or call people out, it's out of that motivation. And I hope that is true for you as well. But it can be extremely difficult, especially because we're all coming at things with a slightly different lens. We all have a little bit different perspective, even if we were raised in the same family. None of us really knows the inner workings of the other person or what's really motivating them or what's really going on in their lives. None of us knows anybody else's story perfectly except our own. And even then, I don't know why I'm motivated to do things sometimes. Sometimes I take actions or steps and I'm like, it just felt right, I guess. I don't know. It's really, really difficult even to keep yourself on track and moving in the direction that you think is best. And you know yourself better than you know anyone else. So this can be a really, really challenging task. So as I was reflecting on this, I start scouring the scriptures for stories and anecdotes and maybe some wise words that could help us on this topic. There are many passages, obviously, in the scriptures about living in relationships and what that means and how to deal with each other when maybe we cross paths negatively or butt heads, or whether we sin against the other or not, is some of the stories discuss that. And I did find a couple, as I was looking, I found a couple that I was like, well, that's a good word, but not really this. So I'm going to share those because I thought that was a good way to start. The first one I found is in Matthew 10 when Jesus is sending out the disciples. And he says to them, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. And I feel like this is advice that can be given sometimes when dealing with difficult people. Just shake off the dust and move on. Which in certain circumstances with people you interact with, I think is probably good advice. However, if it's your friend or someone close to you that you care about and that you desire to live in community with, probably not the best advice to just shake off the dust and move on. Like, that's not a good way to maintain a relationship. So while that can apply to certain things, I don't think that really applies here. Another passage that I thought was really good for relationships is in Matthew 18. Many of us know the Matthew 18 text that talks about what to do when a brother, quote, sins against you. It talks about going one-on-one and then bringing one or two, you know, trusted people and then going before the whole assembly, right? But as I was reading that, I was like, man, that's really good. But oftentimes when we have conflict or when we are trying to like hold somebody accountable or challenge them, they haven't sinned against us. It's not necessarily that they've, you know, done anything to harm us. It can be just a simple misunderstanding, or it can be a simple conflict, or it can be something that we see that maybe is a path that we think they're going down that we're a little worried about. Yeah, I don't know. It just, to me, it didn't seem like that perspective was, you know, there are opportunities, I think, when it is clear that someone has harmed you. And in those moments, I think it's wise to bring counsel and try to reconcile in that way. But there are other times that aren't quite as black and white, right? It's not quite as clear cut as that. So I thought, okay, that's, I don't know, that's close, but still not quite right. And then the even more extreme example is 1 Corinthians 5, right? For those of you who know that passage, it talks about expelling the immoral brother. And that is like, that's some serious stuff there, right? If anyone is living in immorality, kick them out. You're done. Like, just be gone with you. If they won't listen to you, cut ties and move on. And that is, again, I'm sure there are situations where that might be appropriate. But that's not really what I'm talking about today. That's not really a way to live in community with one another and challenge one another while not being too judgy. So, like I said, it's a delicate balance. And one of the things they mention in 1 Corinthians 5 that I thought was particularly interesting is he talks about not judging those outside the body. And so I think one of the other things that is really important to consider as we look at challenging people is that challenging them to what? And do they even want that? You know, because we all have different ideas and concepts about what God is calling us to exactly. And I think there are some very basic things in the scripture that we are all called to. I'll get to that later, spoiler alert. But we don't all agree on what all those things are. And so you may be trying to challenge somebody, something that they don't particularly want, just because your perspective on it is different than theirs. And that's a really important point, I think. When I think about holding others accountable, challenging each other, the passage that I was most drawn to and that really hit me in kind of a different light this week is in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus talks about not judging others. We've talked about this before, even recently in our Sermon on the Mount series, but Jesus talks about before you look at the speck in your brother's eye, make sure you deal with the plank in your own eye, right? Make sure not only are you worried about other people, but you're thinking about and being humble and acknowledging the fact of all of your shortcomings, being open to being challenged yourself. But here's the thing that really hit me differently. I never thought to not just view the plank as sin or as something that is hindering me, but also that plank is my own perspective. My own plank is making me see the world through only my lens and not through that other person's lens that maybe just has a speck in their eye. That plank is my worldview. It is my perspective. It is my unique and singular identity that I see things different than all 8 billion other people in the world. And I think that's really, really important when it comes to challenging others in relationship. We have to acknowledge that not only do we need challenged, but that our challenge for others may not really be what they need. Or when we say something to someone that we think is just perfect and awesome and we're so smart, they might hear that completely differently. Actually, there's no may, but they will hear it completely differently because they have a different plank in their own eye. They have a different way that they're viewing the world. And so it's really important when challenging others to have humility, to have openness, to have dialogue. It's really important when we are approaching others about their speck to be curious about how that speck got there, about what they think about that speck, about what their perspective is. You know, honestly, if you go to challenge somebody, they may already know. Chances are they probably do. I mean, don't you? I know I got a whole lot of problems. I mean, if somebody called me out on them, I'd probably be like, yeah, and? Yeah, welcome to the party. Like, thanks for coming. I'm glad to have you here. Yeah, my life's a mess. Who knew, right? So curiosity, I think, is really important when it comes to challenging and to encouraging and to holding others accountable. Because we've got to recognize our different lenses. We've got to recognize our different perspectives. And we've got to recognize and we've got to be humble and open about our own shortcomings that we're bringing to the table in that relationship. Jesus goes on to say, and I love this, in Matthew 7, he talks about being known by your fruit and that we will be known by our fruit. And that's the other thing that I think is so important when it comes to challenging others, is that we need to be looking at the fruit. We need to be looking at the fruit way more than we need to be looking at the ideology. Now, ideology is something really important. You know, our ideas and thoughts and concepts that lead us to take actions are obviously very important, but they're also very complicated. None of us in this room has the same theology. None of us. In fact, the famous church father, Augustine, was quoted, one of my favorite quotes, that if you can comprehend it, it is not God. Like, God is so incomprehensible, so far out there, so the universe is so vast, it's so big that like none of us can fully comprehend it. We all are coming to this with different ideas. We're all reading the same passage in scripture and hearing it just a little bit differently. We all have different ideologies. But are your fruits harming yourself and others or helping yourself and others? And I get that having different ideologies leads to potentially different and harmful actions. You could see somebody's ideologies alone and say, that's going to lead to something harmful. I get that. That's another sermon. I can't really touch that right now. I get that. I hear that. But when we look at someone's fruit and their actions that are they causing harm to themselves or others? I think that's a really important baseline. For me, it is. When I have relationship with folks, like, are they causing harm to themselves or their communities? If that's the case, like, I want to lean in and maybe see what's going on and how we can, you know, how I can be helpful or how hear them out, right? Be curious and hear. But if not, and even if it's something I disagree, if not, it's like, well, maybe that's an ideology thing that we just need to wrestle with. And we can, and that's fine. But that to me is not really a moment like for holding accountable necessarily, just because they have a different ideology than me. Does that make sense? This past week, my brother spoke some words about my grandma that I haven't been able to get out of my head. And he was talking about how she exhibited the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm going to read a little bit of what he said. He said about her that she had a kindness and goodness that comes from the humility to accept that one's opinions aren't the only ones that matter, and to listen and seek understanding when differences arise, faithfulness in the midst of pain caused by others, and a gentleness that chooses reconciliation over judgment, a self-control that fosters discipline. Now, if you're familiar with the fruit of the Spirit, you heard that a lot of those were mentioned, and that's what he was referencing. When I asked him a little bit more about how he came up with such beautiful words, because I was surprised. Just kidding. Joke. That was a joke. He admitted that they weren't his. No, I'm just kidding. He told me that they had been inspired by a sermon series by Andy Stanley that he had listened to called What the World Needs Now. And in this series, Andy Stanley talks about how Jesus came and gave us the Spirit, not just to be spiritual or theological geniuses, but he gave us the Spirit so that we could be mature, so that we could grow in the fruit of the Spirit, so that we could grow into a more healthy version of our humanity. He gave us the Spirit so that we could become more like the people that God made us to be. And these people are people who exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I think for us as people who are living as Christ followers, for people who are following the Spirit, this is our single greatest aspiration. God has called us to be a people of love and a people who genuinely care for others. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God and love others as yourself. And the fruit of the Spirit to me is just like, it's just like a deeper version, like, well, how do you love? Okay, well, there's lots of ways to be loving, and it's joyful and kind and good and full of self-control and all those things. And so to me, if we're going to challenge others, if we're going to hold others accountable, like, this is the single greatest lens to look through. Like, this is the fruit, right? Like, if a tree, a good tree bears good fruit, well, we need to look for the fruit. And if people are exhibiting these things, like, man, those are the kind of people that I want to be involved with. Those are the people I want to grow alongside because they're growing good fruit. And so when I think about challenging others, holding others accountable without being judgy, it's looking at the fruit. I think that there are, I'm going to get down to three steps, you know, because I'm a good pastor and we always have like 3 points, right? That's like a thing, right? That's what they teach us in pastor school. So I've got three simple steps to challenging others, holding others accountable. And step number one's pretty simple. You got to have a relationship. Like, ain't nobody want to listen to somebody they don't know. You know, you walk up to somebody you don't know and it's like, who are you? Like, you're telling me what to do and how to live? I don't even know you. There's another saying, I think it's also attributed to Andy Stanley, that nobody cares what you know until they know that you care. Like, be in relationship with people first. Like, that's what's most important, is to be in relationship. That's number one. Number two is to be the type of person that welcomes challenge and accountability yourself. Like, if you want to challenge a whole other account, like, you need to be open to it. Because, listen, we all know you ain't perfect. You know how I know that? Because you're a person. And that's just kind of how we roll here on the earth. So be a person that is open, that's humble, that's curious about how you can be better, that's welcoming to others challenging you, and you hear that. And that's number two. And number three is what I've already said, challenge and hold accountable on the fruit. Look at the fruit. And first of all, make sure that the person wants the same fruits that you want, right? Going back to 1 Corinthians 5, what job is it of ours to hold those outside the body accountable? If someone has a completely different worldview and claims to not want the things that you're trying to hold them accountable to, I mean, you can love them and like care for them, but like, if they don't say that they want that, like, what good is it going to do you to try to hold them accountable to your standard when they don't want that standard? And that just goes back to number one, having a relationship. You would know that if you had a good relationship with that person. But challenge on the fruit. Challenge folks to be loving and joyful and peaceful and patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, self-controlled. I'm going to go back briefly and I'm wrapping up here. That of course, it's good and important work to have ideological, theological, high-level understandings and conversations. That is good work that we need to do with one another. But that can get really touchy and really complicated real quick. There is a world of differences out there, a world of debate, a world of understanding of different perspectives. I bet you could, oh my goodness, you could bring me any single topic in the scriptures, and I bet I could find you people who are very well read and studied that would have complete opposite opinions on it. There's a lot going on out there in the world, and people have been studying this stuff for what? I don't know. How old's the oldest book? Like 2,800 years? I don't know. A while. A lot longer than any of us. But let's challenge each other to have good fruit. Man, I don't know if you know this. I'm sure you do. Life is really hard. Life is tough. And I know that most of us, in my experience, based on the people I have relationship with, man, we're trying our best. We're trying our best to do the right thing and to live the way that we feel is good and best. And so let's not be known for being judgy. Gosh, it's already hard enough. Nobody needs that. Nobody needs that. But let's be a people. Let's commit as a church to be a people that encourage and challenge each other to be loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-control. Let's do that. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you again for who you are and who you're calling us to be. God, it's always such a joy to be able to gather together and to worship you and to hear from you and to encourage and challenge one another. May that be our call as we gather each and every week. May that be the desire of our heart. And may we be people that are known by the fruit of the Spirit. May it just pour out of our lives throughout all of our hardship and stuff we got going on, throughout all of our ideological and theological differences. May we be people who are known by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May it be so.